All right, you guys, raise your hand if you're encouraged by that chit-chat. Isn't that nice? You're probably thinking, why don't I do this more often? Just grab somebody and talk to them about important things, right? Get past the weather, past the Dodgers, Astros fiasco, and get to something else, past politics. All right. To the Bible. All right. Well, last week we started reading chapter 10 in the book of Acts. And this passage of scripture is a key piece in understanding how God's plan that he gave to Abraham in the beginning is going to roll out. How God was going to bless all the nations. And he said, as far as you see the stars and even the grains of sand, so your descendants will be, and I will bless all of them. How is that going to happen? Well, this is a key piece in how God wanted to bless all nations through his seed. And that's important as well. That Jesus would come through him. When I was in Malawi last summer, a Muslim boy in a white hat and a white robe, a serious Muslim boy out in the bush in a million miles east of nowhere, asked me if David was in the house, you know, if Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. And I showed him the genealogy, and it went from Abraham to David to Jesus, and he was blown away. Because his father is Abraham, is a Muslim, right? And I showed him in Scripture how Jesus came in that line. I said, now go watch the rest of the Jesus film. And if you have any more questions, we'll talk afterwards. After we showed him the movie, I came to him. I said, well, what do you think? He said, I have no further questions. I said, well, did you receive Jesus in your heart? He said, yes, I did. I said, wow, are you kidding me? And so did the chief, Leonard. So Leonard and Dawid came to Jesus in the middle of nowhere in Africa, in a Muslim community, because they saw the truth of God's plan to all nations. All nations. When I was a kid growing up, I thought that it was just a white man's religion. And then in China, they had theirs. In Japan, they had theirs. And in South Texas, we had ours. And our religion was go to church, come home, fix lunch, and watch the Cowboys. Because Tom Landry was God's man with a hat. And he'd stand there on the sidelines, and we'd win again. We used to win all the time. You know, I heard a great story from Chuck Swindoll, because I listened to him in the mornings on the way back from Topanga when I go surfing. And he said that back in the days when Dallas won, remember those? Anybody remember those days? Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, Gene Stallings was the halfback coach. And Charlie Waters and Cliff Harris were just outstanding. They called them halfbacks back then instead of defensive backs, the defense, right? They sat after the game and they had given it all against the Redskins, their rivals. I mean, just left it all on the field. I mean, to the end. And one of them looked at the other and said, by the way, what was the final score? And his whole point was these guys played every play for that play, to give it their best regardless of the score. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. We know we're going to win in the end, but we just keep taking each play each day and just living for Jesus. Isn't that a good word? But what was the score anyway, you know? Isn't that great? And they're just in the locker room just totally wiped out, you know? I love that. Well, I like to pray before I go further. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you've left us with your word so we're not just groping about in the dark for answers, trusting in philosophies and oral tradition, that we have your word, the living word, that will never fade. Help us to understand it today, apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Cornelius in our story was a God-fearing worshiper of God. He was a Gentile. And he had just received a message. If you didn't come last week, this is a review. And it's on the website. I just received a message from an angel to send for Peter, who is staying at a tanner's house by the sea. And at the same time, Peter has seen a vision that whatever God has made clean is now no longer unholy. In other words, kill what you want. You can go deer hunting. You can go shoot a hog and eat it. It's all God. It's okay now. You know, he could eat whatever he wanted. This is groundbreaking. Kosher was out the window. Game on. Time for ham and cheese sandwiches. Right? But it's more than that. The message is that all men will be made clean too by God, regardless of the nation that they come from, which is huge because it started with the Jews. But now Jews and Gentiles alike are going to be included. All nations, this is huge. There's no more partiality. Jews and Gentiles together, all men are equal under God. The table is set. The Holy Spirit has prepared Cornelius' heart. And he's ready to hear the gospel. And that's where we stopped last week. So if you'll open up your Bible to Acts 10. Chapter 10, verse 34. So the whole first part of chapter 10 is setting the stage for this moment. Cornelius and his whole household is there. They've all been praying every day to this God that they know in their heart, but they do not know how to be saved. They do have not heard the gospel. So in verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." It says, all who believe. That's it. That's the good news. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Right? As Linus is sitting there sucking on his thumb with his blanket, walking off the stage. That's what it's all about. Jesus came and he died for all people. For all people. For all who believe. If you don't believe me, go to In-N-Out Burger today and look at the bottom of the cup. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Look it up. It's all. You know, in Texas, there's y'all, there's you all, and then there's all y'all. It means all y'all. No matter where you come from. So I was wrong when I was a kid. The Japanese don't have a different God. The Chinese don't have a different God. There's not a different God for Mecca, a different Savior. Jesus died for all. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but through me." If you have cancer, and the doctor says, "I have bad news and good news," and you say, "What's the bad news?" "Well, you have terminal cancer." "But what's the good news?" He said, "I found a cure." Would you turn to him and say, "Well, that's kind of closed-minded. I need more than one cure." Of course not. But that's what people do. You turn to them and you say, "Jesus is the answer for your life. Jesus is the answer for the world today, right? And they'll say, gosh, that is so close-minded. Are you serious? He's the only way. Yeah, what else do you need? He saves your life from sin. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. Let him in. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful name. We just sang that. What a beautiful name it is, Jesus, who died for us. So Cornelius, at this point, is blown away, I'm sure, because he's been seeking, and now he's heard the answer. He and his whole household. And then God confirms it with signs and wonders, just like the day of Pentecost. Look what happens next in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Cornelius and his household and all those who came to hear with faith, I might add, are now baptized in the Holy Spirit. Boom. Evidence demands a verdict. Evidence demands a verdict. I've told this story before, but I love to remember it myself. I was in Hawaii when I was serving as a missionary. I went to the doctor, came outside. There's some boys on the across the alley on a little porch. The Holy Spirit said to my heart, go talk to those boys. So I went over and kneeled with those boys, and they're all sitting on the ground on the porch. I kneeled with them. I said, hey, guys, do you know who my hero is? They said, oh, I don't know. Muhammad Ali, no, I don't know. You know, they started saying all these names. And I finally said, no, you give? I said, it's Jesus. And one of them said, I told you. And I didn't realize it, but I looked up and it said some kind of church. I was at a church front. And I said, would y'all like to ask Jesus to come into your life today? It's one thing to believe, it's nothing to receive. John 1:12. And they did that. All these, like most of these boys said the prayer. I don't know where they were in their lives with God, but they all said the prayer. And then one of them starts speaking in tongues. He was about 8 years old. Starts speaking in tongues. I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't know. What am I doing? I said, you're speaking in tongues and you just received Jesus. This is amazing. This will rework anybody's theology. It's just pure childlike faith and just evidence of faith right there in front of us. And all the kids looked at him like, whoa, where'd you get that language? I'll never forget, it was in Kalihi, the poorest part of Honolulu. God often works the strongest and the most profound in the poorest parts of the world. It didn't happen in the nice part of Honolulu. It happened in Kalihi, the poorest part of Honolulu. I could have spent the rest of my life right there at that storefront with those kids, raising them up, discipling them, taking them to church. But God had other plans. As I drove away, I just felt like, wow, God, I could have stayed there the rest of my life and done ministry. As those boys were raised up. And I was actually open to staying for a second there. Like, if you want me to stay, Lord, I mean, that's a big difference here. Whoa, you know, I got to go home and tell everybody I'm leaving. But the point is, evidence demands a verdict. You can't argue with someone's testimony. You can't argue with the fact that the Holy Spirit has come in and changed someone's life and given them power, and now they're moving in power. So Peter and his crew of Jews couldn't deny it. God had brought salvation to a Gentile. This is the first recorded fact beyond the Jews. God showed you didn't have to be a Jew or be circumcised to be a believer, because they were uncircumcised and they weren't Jewish. So it reminds me of a story I heard about a cab driver that reaches the pearly gates, and St. Peter looks him up in his big book, tells him to pick up a gold staff and a silk robe and proceed into heaven. Next in line is a preacher. St. Peter looks at him up in his big book, furrows his brow and says, okay, we'll let you in, but take that cloth robe and that wooden staff. The preacher's shocked and replies, but I'm a man of the cloth. You gave that cab driver a gold staff and a silk robe. Surely I rate higher than a cabbie. St. Peter responds matter-of-factly, This is heaven. And up here, we are interested in results. When you preached, people slept. When the cabbie drove his taxi, people prayed. So good results on earth are important, but they don't get us into heaven. Praise God for that. Look at your neighbor and say, well, that's good news, because we would never make it. It is faith that saves us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's not that by works that we're saved or man could boast. It's by grace. It's by faith that we're saved. And in the case of Cornelius, his faith was confirmed by the spiritual gift of tongues that came. This was huge. Now it had been clearly revealed. Salvation is for all men, all y'all, all men and women, for all nations. So we've learned so far in this passage that we need to, and I filled in your notes from last week for those that weren't here, the first part, preach the gospel to all nations. Matthew 28, 18 and 20 says, go into all the world preaching the gospel. Romans 10, 12 and 15 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those. Look at your neighbor. How beautiful are those feet right there. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You can have beautiful feet. Just think of all those around the world that know God, like Cornelius, right now. All around here, right? That reminds me of a story. Remember that story I told you about the Pacific? My friend in Hawaii is a photographer, and he had his camera set up at Pipeline, and his big camera, and he's looking out the ocean. A guy came from the Midwest on vacation, stood next to him, and looked at my friend Jim and said, wow, oh, that's the Pacific, huh? He looked at him incredulously and said, yep, that's the Pacific. And then the guy said, you know, I always thought it was a lot bigger than that. He said, because back home, Great Lakes look just like that. So, I mean, you know, you can only see so far, right? It's a pretty funny story. That's a true story. But, so yeah, as far as we can see, way out there around the world right now, there are people like Cornelius who know God in their heart. We know that from Romans 1:20, that all men know God in their heart because his invisible attributes are evidence of him. What he has made shows his invisible attributes. So that man, no man is with excuse. We all know God in our heart. An atheist is suppressing the truth. An agnostic is being more honest because he's still searching. Amen? So, I pray that we can go there and help them because right now they're praying the best they can in their region, knowing their religion, their customs, the way they were raised by their family, whether it's Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim, they are seeking God the best they know how right now, aren't they? Right? They need us to come and finish the story like Peter did with Cornelius. Does that make sense? That's why we're going to Malawi. They need to find out how to truly be saved. We also learned it, number two in your point, sir, that God can speak to you through dreams and visions and even an angel. That's what's happened in this story. And in this case, we see that salvation, number three, point number three, salvation is by faith, not by works, for all nations. So write in all nations. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, 12 through 13. Acts 4, 12 talks about the same thing. It's his name. It's the name of Jesus by which men are saved. And if you look at Revelation 7, 9 through 10 in the back of your Bible, Revelation 7, 9 through 10. You got to use your fingernail to get there instead of just your thumb. Revelation 7, 9 through 10, I love this. This is a great verse for missions. So Revelation 7, 9 through 10. After these things I looked, and this is talking about right after he saw the 144,000, which I believe represents the 12 tribes of Israel. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You know, it's estimated that of the 7.47 billion people alive in the world today, that 3.15 billion of them live in unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unreached means less than 2% are Christian, so it's very difficult for them to find out the truth. According to Joshua Project, there are approximately 16,800 unique people groups, ethnos, different languages. For instance, in Oaxaca, Mexico, there's 800 different people groups in Oaxaca because it's a mountainous region with lots of different languages, to give you an idea how this works. So 16,800 unique people groups in the world, with about 6,900 of them considered unreached. That's 6,900 different people groups that still need to be reached. The vast majority, 95% of these least reached groups, exist in the 1040 window between latitudes 10 and 40 degrees north, between, you know, Europe and Asia, that section right there. And less than 10% of missionary work is done there. If you go online, you'll see a cool video there. I also posted it on Facebook yesterday. Less than 10% of missionaries are actually going to the 1040 window. We're going south of the 1040 window this summer, but it's among a group that's just now being engaged and reached called the Yao people, Y-A-O, the Yao people. And they live in compact villages of 75 to 100 persons under traditional headsmen. These headmen, like the chiefs, succeed matrilineally, say that slowly, matrilineally through mamas, the office usually going to the eldest sister's firstborn son. On marriage, the man leaves his village to live in that of his wife, so that the villages are composed basically of groups of women related through the female line together with their spouses. Yao, Y-A-O, social life features annual initiation ceremonies involving circumcision for boys. And we're not talking about anesthetic here. Ouch. Originally, these ceremonies were closely connected with the worship of ancestor spirits, but through Arab contact, most Yao are Muslims, and the rites incorporate Islamic elements. And so those are the people that we've been ministering among. So yes, they're south of that window, but they need to be reached. And praise God for the hundreds that came to the Lord last summer because we showed the Jesus film to them in their language. So that's why we're going back. And then we go to Mexico. We've been going to the Cumayai in northern Mexico, in a village near Ensenada. And they are a reached tribe, but not entirely. In other words, people have brought the gospel there, but they're still needing discipleship. And they're still needing to have a church growing in their midst. Right now, there's a man named Oswaldo that just went there after Christmas. We baptized him last time we went, along with 11 other people. It was amazing. After like 2 or 3 years of ministry, of this huge baptism. And now Oswaldo and his team are on site ministering and discipling. So praise God for that. And that little church there, pray for the Cumayai. Pray for the chief's husband, Valentin, who just got baptized. And her name is Bernicia. So, but we go there because that's another people group. That's another tribe that's going to be in heaven. And you can join us for that. We'll probably go back to that village the next time we go. This time we're going to help with the men's home. The next time we'll go back to the village. Raise your hand if you've been to the village before. So yeah, we got some people here that have been down there. You can ask them about it. So let's go on and read the next part of the text, the second half of verse 46. Then Peter answered, after seeing them speaking in tongues and evidence of salvation, then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Says, what's the next step? Just like the Ethiopian with Philip said, what's keeping me from being baptized? There's some water. That's just what they did. Says right here, he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on a few days for discipleship. So that leads me to point number four. Be baptized in the Spirit and water. Be baptized in the Spirit and water. We've talked at length about being baptized in the Spirit. You can look back at our previous messages. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is a secondary experience. And you can search the Scriptures. This is not just my opinion. Search the Scriptures. There's a secondary experience that gives you power to minister. The Holy Spirit draws us, John 6:44, draws us, and then God enables us through John 6:65, if you look at that. So the Holy Spirit's already in our life, like Cornelius, drawing him. Then we accept, receive, and believe, that's John 1:12. Now we become a child of God, we're born again, John 3:3. Okay, now we're born again, His Spirit comes to live in us. Look at your neighbor and say, that's trippy. Yeah, then the Holy Spirit comes in us and lives in us and is now in us. This is really cool. And that's why we enjoy each other, because we all have that. Then you ask, Father, please baptize me in your Spirit with your power. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, wait for the power from on high so that you can be my witnesses. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you get spiritual gifts so that you can love people in His strength. How many know we don't have enough? We just don't. I'm a school teacher. On Friday, I was done. I mean, Valentine's, candy, it's done. Just take me home. Want to get away, just like the Southwest Airlines commercial. But with His Spirit, we can do this. We need His Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what that is. Simply just ask God, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Or you can ask us to lay hands on you and pray for you, as is demonstrated in the book of Acts. They laid hands on people. And they were filled. We also see right here that God can just do it. And just like the boy in Kalihi, God can just do it. Why? Not to make a circus like churches can become. No, for a purpose, not circus purpose. It's not circus purpose, right? So that we can love people, minister His grace to people. And then we get baptized in water. We have a baptismal right here. If anybody wants to get baptized, I'll get back in my wetsuit. That's kind of cheating, isn't it? I'll go without it if you want me to. It's freezing, though. But we always have a baptismal right here. God says, be baptized. Why? It's an outward expression of an inward decision to represent how we've been baptized into Christ, and we will one day be risen with Him. Baptized into His death and His resurrection. It's a beautiful thing. So that's what they did right away. I'm sure Cornelius, being a Roman leader, had a nice pool. They just jumped in the pool, got baptized right there. But they were, you know, I'm sure the ocean wasn't that far away either. They could jump in his Hummer or whatever he had and go down there. But it says to be baptized. Acts 1, 4 through 5. Acts 1 through 4 through 5. I don't make all this stuff up. I get it from the Bible. It says, gathering them together, He commanded them to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then again, we see in the text here. Then after that, he stayed with the disciples of the new members of God's family. He stayed there to disciple them because we need to be taught. We need to be in fellowship. That's why we have our Tuesday night gathering. We need something in the middle of the week to get us between Sundays, because it's so easy to kind of slither along through our week and not really be spiritually minded. So we go through a chapter in the New Testament every week. We've been doing this since the kids, our whole marriage, right? Basically 23 years, to try to do a new chapter every week. And we're running out of chapters. I can't remember if we've done this one before or not, but we're in 1 Thessalonians 5, which is great. It's very pithy, short little things that are easy to remember. And so come, have tacos and learn about God and fellowship. It's important that we disciple each other, help each other learn about the Scripture. But what a time this must have been for Peter. Think about it. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. This is foot and mouth Peter that was told 3 times by Jesus, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, right? And now God is using him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. What a privilege. He must have been overjoyed. Overjoyed. That's what happens when we let the Spirit lead us. And where he leads us, we preach the gospel. Just like God led me to do this here like 10 years ago in the summers, it turned into a church. Because we have good news, y'all. We have good news. It's not in the LA Times today, I'm sorry. I like to read the sports page and the weather page. Great sports writing. But you're not going to find much good news in the first section. Right? I mean, it's just hard because bad news sells. Right? But we have good news. We have good news. Also, the crime section, that's what the gang members call the second section, the crime page, because they get to read about all their dirty deeds in there. When I used to work with gang members, that's what they told me. So, but we have good news for what? For all nations. For all nations. That's why I titled this, For All Nations. So who's ready to take the good news? Raise your hand. Across the street or across the sea? Across the street, across the sea. Across the bike path, across the beach, across the parking space, across the counter at Subway. I recently led a girl to Christ at Subway. I got a sandwich, she got salvation. We all win. And it was ham and cheese, too. So we're going to do communion in just a minute. Before we do that, you know, communion's for believers. And it's not like I don't want you to do it. I'm just, that's what the Bible says. The communion, we have to come to communion seriously, not to be taken lightly. It says in the Bible that some have been gotten sick. They got sick because they didn't take it seriously. I've never had anybody get sick in church over it, but it's in Scripture. But before we do that, if everybody would just bow their heads, we're talking about good news here. I want to make sure that everybody here has received, believed and received. You might be like Cornelius and you've been seeking and seeking and now you know what to do next. Because the gospel has now come into your life for the first time. So, with everybody's heads bowed just for privacy. Obviously, when I got saved, I just want to tell everybody, but just for privacy, why not? If that's you, raise your hand. I would love to pray with you today just to help you receive Jesus into your life, to make him Lord of your life and realize that he saved you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Wow, if just one repents, the angels are partying and rejoicing. If just one says, yes, Jesus, it's enough for a party in heaven. So right now, the party's begun. Anybody else? All right, we'll repeat after me these words. Let's do it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you.
We believe in you.
I believe you died for me.
We believe you died for us.
I know I'm a sinner.
Thank you for shedding your blood
to pay for my sin.
I know you rose from the dead.
So I believe what you said.
Come into my life.
Fill me with your power.
Help me to rise again too.
And live with you forever.
And walk with you today.
To love people. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. That is so cool.
That is so cool.
Wow.
Love that.
Never gets old.
Woo.
Okay. So now, as we distribute the elements, I just want you to just ask God to search your heart. It says in Hebrews 10:22, if you draw near to God in full assurance of faith, He'll sprinkle your conscience clean. How many need to have their conscience sprinkled clean a little bit? You know what I'm talking about? Life has got stuff. So just spend some time with God right now while we're distributing the elements. Let Him search your heart, and then we'll do communion in just a moment.